Good evening.
Ruby.
Good evening, Ruby.
Good evening, Hanak. How are you?
Baruch Hashem, things are well.
Good, good.
Do you have any questions for the group?
No, I was just going to listen tonight.
Okay. I believe there's somebody else on.
Okay. I'm going to mute my phone so I don't disturb anyone.
Okay. I believe there's somebody already on besides Ruby. So my question is, do you have a question?
Yes, man.
How are you, Jasmine?
Very good. And you, Hanok?
Baruch Hashem, everything is good. You have questions for tonight?
Not really.
Hanok?
Yes, Naka. How are you?
Yes.
Do you have a question for tonight?
Yes, sir. Where is the soul in the body? Is it like the third eye, or is it in the heart, or is it in the nostril area?
It's a good question. I'll answer it. Just give it a couple more minutes to get started because we've just turned the 10 o'clock time or the 7 o'clock time. So let's give it a minute. Jasmine, did you do the Tikkun Leah last night?
I scanned it before I went to bed.
Okay. Did you do both the Tikkun Rachel and the Tikkun Leah?
No, I just did the Tikkun Leah.
Okay.
I wasn't sure that, I didn't know that I have to do the Tikkun Rachel also.
I will explain a little bit because I thought that was the issue, so I'll try and explain it a little bit better.
Okay.
But let's first answer Malcolm's question. The question Malcolm's asking is, where does the soul exist in the body? I believe that's the question, correct, Malcolm?
Correct. That is correct.
Well, you first have to ask the question, which soul are you talking about? Are you talking about the nefesh? Are you talking about the ruach? Are you talking about the neshama? Because if you're talking about the nefesh, if you're talking about the nefesh, it exists in the blood. The Torah says the soul is in the blood. And we know scientifically today that blood has white cells and red cells. The red cells are associated with the body, and the white cells are associated with the soul. But science says that the white cells are related to the immune system. And what does the immune system do is it provides balance to the body. The immune system fights off the invaders, which are the Klipot, the bacteria, the viruses, and so forth. So the soul is in the blood, meaning the nefesh is in the blood. Then the level of the ruach has 613 components, one for each part of the body. So it's in the brain, it's in the heart, it's in the liver, it's in the left arm, it's in the right arm, it's in the elbows, it's in the knees, it's in the big toes and the little toes, and all of the different parts of the body have their own level of ruach. And that same is true for the neshama. So I hope that answered your question, or perhaps you have some additional questions, Malcolm.
No, sir.
You broke up, so say it again, please.
No, sir, that answers my question.
Okay. Are there any other questions that anybody would like answered? So last night, as Tisha B'Av was over, Jasmine asked if we were going to be doing a Tikkun Rachel. Maybe it was the night before, but was asking about doing Tikkun Rachel that we had been doing during the three-week period. So I will just give a short discussion of what is the Tikkun Rachel and what is the Tikkun Leah. Kabbalistically, Rachel is connected to Malchut, and Leah is connected to Bina. Within the body, Rachel is from the diaphragm up, Leah is from the diaphragm up, and Rachel is from the diaphragm down. When the temple was destroyed, and over a couple of centuries, the sages instituted what we refer to today as the Tikkun Rachel and the Tikkun Leah. And they are said, essentially, both are said each night at midnight, what is called Tikkun Chatzot, composing both Tikkun Rachel and Tikkun Leah, and also the Patach Eliyahu. The idea is Tikkun Rachel being in Malchut, we feel the pain of the destruction of the temple, not just on the 9th of Av, but on every day. And we feel this on, not only do we feel the destruction of the temple as in mourning, M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G, but we feel the lack of the temple being rebuilt. And so Tikkun Rachel is done in ancient days, in the just after the destruction. It was done with ashes. It was done with sackcloth. It was done seated on the ground and literally crying over the destruction or the lack of the rebuilding of the temple. But there comes a point in that process of the Tikkun Rachel where we say, please stand, and start to say words of praise, words of joy. And this is where we are talking about the consciousness of being moving closer to Hashem. All of this is related to the duality that we will begin to talk about of teshuvah, of returning to God from our own sins, from our mistakes. And that's what Tikkun or Chatzot is all about. Teaching us how we can have two different levels of feelings at the same time. How can we be sad that we sinned? And how can we be joyful that we're getting closer to God by returning to God? How do we have this duality? How do we have these two emotions at the same time? And in Kabbalah, we've spoken infrequently, but we've spoken about the picture of a vase that you may have seen, that sometimes when you look at it, it looks like a face. And sometimes when you look at the picture, it's a vase. Face as in F-A-C-E, vase as in B-A-C-E. And the tool is trying to see both the face and the vase at the same time. This is teaching us how to connect to this dual energy, this dual sadness and elevation, sadness and joy at the same time. This is something that is difficult to do because the body has its consciousness and the soul has its consciousness, and they are clearly in conflict. The body is a desire to receive for oneself alone. It doesn't want pain, and it wants to move away from pain. And it wants what it wants when it wants it. And the soul is the desire to receive in order to share. Where it's being taught not to be reactive. And what you want that may not be healthy for you, may not be good for you according to the Torah's laws, you need to avoid. That is the purpose of Tikkun Chatzot. That is the purpose of saying that every day. Now, when it gets really complicated, or where it gets really complicated, during 2 months, the month of Nisan and the month of Tishrei, all 30 days you do not say Tikkun Rachel. You only say Tikkun Leah. And there are Kabbalistic explanations that, truthfully, I don't understand myself fully, and so I don't feel comfortable explaining them. But as my spiritual growth continues, hopefully one day I'll be able to explain it. But ultimately, the rest of the year, except for the night of Tisha B'Av, we do not say Tikkun Leah. Every other day of the year, the month of Nisan and the month of Tishrei, we do not say Tikkun Rachel, but we say Tikkun Leah. Every other day of the year, we say both, except for Tisha B'Av, where we only say Tikkun Rachel and not Tikkun Leah. Now, the Ari has told us that it's good to say Tikkun Rachel during the 3 weeks, and that's what we were doing. And there are other days intermittently where we might not say Tikkun Rachel, such as the holidays, such as those days of the year where we do not say what's called Kachamun, within the Amidah. It's really after the Amidah, but and we don't normally speak in those terms of trying to promote people praying three times a day with the Amidah and all of the rituals associated with that. As individuals decide that they want to increase their spiritual growth, they will come and we will discuss it individually. But I don't promote it as a community. So, Jasmine, I hope that helps to clarify what, if you choose to continue to do it, it's the proper way to do it. And all of what I've just said is in the English explanations that's built into those handouts that you found on the website. So are there any other questions on this subject or any other subject? I hope you all have a beautiful evening. Classes tomorrow at 4:30 is Advanced Reincarnation, and at 7 o'clock we will complete the... Yes, Jasmine.
I'm sorry that I was starting to say something, but I was in mute. I have a question related to the first question. You said that...
Go ahead.
You gave an explanation of the nefesh, you know. You asked which part of the soul he was asking about, and then you explain about the nefesh. But where is the other part situated in the body?
In each of the parts of the body, all 613 parts.
Yeah, but you said the nefesh. What about the ruach?
Each part of the ruach, there are 613 parts of the body. There are 613 ruachs, parts of the ruach. We are taught to think of a soul as Jasmine. Jasmine has a soul called a ruach. Jasmine has a soul called a neshama. Jasmine has a soul called a nefesh. But in truth, Jasmine has 613 sparks or portions or parts of the ruach that is Jasmine. And each of those have their own tikkun. And if you achieve a tikkun for the ruach, one part of the ruach that day, when that night, that ruach, all 613 parts go up to heaven, and that part of the ruach that was completed that day stays up. When in the morning you come back, you now have a different 613th part of the ruach. You're still Jasmine until enough of your ruach changes, and then you're going to get a feeling that the name Jasmine isn't right for you anymore. because you're no longer the composite soul of 613 parts of the Ruach that is known as Jasmine. In reality, those parts, the name Jasmine, the soul of Jasmine, has a different name that you are going to be asked about in the grave. But as long as you feel that the name you were given at birth is correct for you, then many parts of your soul may have been corrected, but not sufficient amount to be that the name Jasmine no longer applies to that composite of the 613 parts of the soul. I hope I'm clear.
Well, the only thing I can tell you is that about a year or more ago, I changed one letter of my name. I interchanged the J for Y. Because I was my original name, Jasmine, with a J, and then I changed it for Y. I don't know why.
I remember noticing that. I've never discussed it with you, but it's very understandable, because as you change, as those parts of your nefesh ruach level of soul, as they get exchanged for quote-unquote new ruach parts, if enough of them get exchanged, then your feeling about your name changes. And the fact Jasmine spelled with a J, many people would change that into Hebrew letters with a Yud, but others would change it into Hebrew letters with a Gimel. And with a Y, it's clearly a Yud. And so that's essentially what took place. Enough of the parts of your soul achieved their correction. And so you were more firmly connected to the Yud of the name Hashem.
Baruch Hashem. And let me say one more thing. If I may, my daughter's name is Sophia, but she had always wanted to be named Anna Sophia, and I just don't know why. Does it have to be maybe to do with what we're discussing right now?
When you say she has always, are you talking to the time she's 2 years old?
No. She changed that. She's maybe starting, her puberty, like 12 or something.
About 11,
when she went
12, 13. Yeah.
Yeah. That's so, what she just, I'm Anna Sophia, I'm not, combined the two names, not just Sophia.
Okay. Anna is a Hebrew word that means please, like in Anna B'Koach. So the fact that she feels that she wants to be called Anna Sophia, we would have to look at what Sophia, what the meaning of that and the energy of Sophia is. But what she's done is add the idea of please, whatever Sophia's energy is. And I think from what we have discussed about your daughter, without disclosing anything, I think you would see what that meaning is all about. It's very much part of her personality since she's been in puberty.
Right.
And she should, if she's asking, if she's asking to be called Anna Sophia, then you should acquiesce and call her that.
Right, I should. Yeah. Okay. I'll try. Actually, she writes that down, Anna Sophia. Beautiful.
Does anybody else have any questions?
Thank you.
You're all welcome. Have a beautiful evening. Hopefully, we'll speak tomorrow.
Thank you.
Bye, Lato.
Thank you.
Shalom to all.
Thank you. Shalom. Shalom. Thank you.